Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to what was until very recently called the Record Book Podcast, but to high-powered meetings, Book for Empire decided to now be called Danny Kelly's Record Book Podcast. So I have to take responsibility for this shambles. But listen, thank you so much for downloading and listening to us once again. Of course, via the Game Day Network, the Game Day Empire these days dominates the podcast world so completely. I'd like to say I'm joined once again by Tom Rennie. And Tom, very, very sincerely, I want to say, Joe, as we've been through the last 12 or 13 weeks doing this for nothing and all the rest of it, you have been absolute stalwart. And we wouldn't have kept the podcast going without you. So without any side at all, thank you very much.
Well, I feel as if you're already, having taken the moniker Danny Kelly's Record Book, already trying to pass responsibility back to me. And you know what? I don't want it. I won't take it. This abomination of a show is your responsibility. You keep it, mate, all right?
I feel like Wile E. Coyote when he does absolutely everything possible to distance himself from the ticking time bomb. It's all to his back pocket, isn't it?
But that would cast me as the roadrunner, and as you know, I don't run. So we need to think of a whole new cartoon pairing for us.
Me, but I should make a point that normally Tom is doing this from home. He's actually doing it from work. He's squeezing it into his very busy schedule, which is great. Tom, where should we start? Of course, the fanfares are ringing out very loudly now, and bonfires have been lit in all the high points of the land, and every village is festooned with bunting at the prospect of the return of Premier League football 2 days before it's supposed to start, 3 days, whatever it is. Boom, COVID at Norwich.
Yeah, this is really interesting, this actually, because the Norwich City player who tested positive did play against Spurs in a friendly a couple of days ago. Now, the regulation is that you need to be near somebody for 15 minutes within 2 metres of an infected person, and that means that you would then need to go and self-isolate and all that sort of stuff. But what I don't understand about this is, and that's fine, that's the government policy in the United Kingdom, that was published in early March, and I think someone told me the other day, on average in a game, you have close physical contact with an opponent for 39 seconds in a game. So if you played on the field with someone else who's got COVID-19, you're extremely unlikely to get it in the time you're close to each other.
Sure,
I get that.
Sure.
But in Germany, and this is why in Germany there was no friendlies, no kind of pre-season friendlies, why everyone looked so knackered after the first week and why Baz Dost passed out after like 65 minutes of playing for Frankfurt, having not run for 2.5 months, because they were all quarantined. So every single player in Germany was quarantined for a week. And you'll remember there was a manager who nipped out to get himself some toothpaste, and he couldn't be there for the first weekend because they were quarantined. Our players are playing each other in friendlies a few days before the season starts.
In a country where the famous R number is much higher than what it was when they started in Germany.
I mean, it just feels like, I don't want to be someone who is going to be looking down negatively on this already, because I want it to work. I desperately need it to work. I've just bought a new car. We've had a baby. I've got a mortgage. I need the Premier League back, all right? And I speak for a lot of people.
And the players, they need it back. The reason they're going through these risks, they need it back so the clubs don't go out of business, so they can continue to get paid a massive wage. People talk about taking risks. They're taking risks for a very good reason, to keep the gravy train moving at the pace it currently does.
However, it does concern me. They've now got into a situation where they're playing each other and there are players that are being diagnosed with COVID-19, and now they're not isolating because government policy doesn't mandate it. Because it goes back to what Troy Deeney was saying a few weeks ago, how safe can I be? And they're saying, yeah, it's going to be safe. It's fine. We're following the protocols. Look at Germany. Well, we haven't done the same as Germany. No, we're not doing the same as Germany. So why are we not even following the example for returning football of a league, of a country near us that have done it so successfully? Why are we not following that protocol? I don't know.
Because we've been behind. Look, this is not a political podcast, but it's fair to say that the government have been behind every curve it's possible to get behind. If the Olympic Games were still going on this time, I know they've been cancelled, and being behind curves became an event. They're 1, 2, 3 on the podium. Up goes the three Union Jacks. We're all cheering. Our medal tally is already fulfilled. Sport England delighted. We are world champions at curve behind being. Let's move on to a place where they have started, yeah? What about in Spain, where I know you're a great collector, you're a connoisseur
You watched the video that I sent you. I haven't sent this for the listeners, of course, but no, this is the video of
them. Yeah,
it's you'll get it later. You've got my number. It's the Sevilla Real Betis game where they had this virtual crowd. Now this has been much talked about. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great. Firstly, all the graphics are in 2D. Which is very frustrating because I thought it was going to be a crowd and it was going to be like the guys on FIFA, the five guys that keep getting replicated, or like the crowd in Gladiator where it's like the five guys baying for blood and then they keep getting replicated to fill the Colosseum.
Pod race in Star Wars where it's clearly the same 20 people, but there's a lot of them,
And if you don't really stare at it and you only watch the movie once, probably not for Star Wars fans this one, but you can get on with it. But this was awful. It was like watching the graphics of an N64. Like GoldenEye, the greatest video game of all time, by the way, GoldenEye has better graphics than this nonsense. And it was almost like a really crap Jackson Pollock that had been put onto the ground. But if the camera moved, it all disappeared.
And the irony is, you're absolutely right. It wasn't very, very good at all. In fact, it looked like my brother used to have a Spectrum ZX, before your time, in which if you wanted to play their football game, you had to program the entire game yourself. So you'd get this extraordinary book of dots, dashes, X's, Y's, forward slashes, etc., like a very complicated knitting pattern. And he would sit there for a fortnight programming the ZX Spectrum. If you made one keystroke mistake, you had to go back to the start again. And they produced, that still managed to produce, better graphics than we saw at Seville Derby, of course, was the first game in major European football to come back where the real crowd actually gathered outside the stadium. Now, people say, oh, people wouldn't be stupid, that won't happen. Actually, that's the first example of pretty large numbers of people gathering out. I don't know whether it was the Bolompi Stadium or not, but whichever one stadium it was at, they were gathering outside. So you had real people outside not watching the football, making up people on the television, apparently pretending to watch the football. That's where we are in the middle of 2020. Looking forward to the next 6 months, though. Really am.
The amazing thing about this is that I've been telling you for a few weeks now, having watched the fake crowds and all that, that I haven't hated it as much as I thought I would. And for some of it, I've almost been on board. But this is the one that put me over the edge that's made me now really dislike it. Because, firstly, when the graphic went for the crowd on what I was watching on, the crowd noise disappeared. There must have been some sort of setting that they put on. So when the camera moves right, whatever reason, the crowd's no longer working. So it's like if you ever go to a virtual museum, have you ever done that? Where you go, you have your phone and you hold it up to like a barcode or whatever, RFID code, and it shows you a model of Big Ben or something or other. Big Ben's, of course, not the tower. Yeah. I know, I got that wrong, but whatever. Yeah. Millennium Wheel. What's that called these days?
I don't know.
Is it the year 2000? I have no frame of reference beyond the year.
Let's go back to the museum where you are in the National Gallery, say, and you want to see what this Velasquez is about, and you hold up your phone and it fires off some electronic signal.
There you go. That was better than what I had. That was a real thing. But then as soon as the camera moved to follow the ball into the right corner, it disappeared. But it also, on what I was watching, cut the crowd. So you've gone from hearing the crowd fake singing about Sevilla and isn't it great to be back at the football and seeing all this weird gelatinous blob of red and white in the background, it all disappears again and you're back on your own. It was like a horror movie. It's like that bit in the horror movie where they build up the tension and the door opens and it turns out it's just mum bringing the washing in, not someone coming to stab you.
I presume it's the lack of preparation time where they've made up some computer modelling and says, you know, whenever we're face on to the play, we'll have all this stuff. They haven't managed to extend it yet. You're absolutely right. It was like playing Wimbledon in the old days, when if the ball went to the corner, you knew all kinds of strange things were about to happen. And, you know, when they used to get... Bobby Gould used to instruct them to throw the grass really long in the corners at Plough Lane, so the ball never went out of play. So they booted the ball to the corners, and then weird things would happen, which led to goals by John Fashanu headers. In this case, as you say, the crowd disappeared, and the noise, that was odd. They should be linked together. That was really odd.
Yeah.
Upshot, not the best coverage.
But people are loving it still. Like, yesterday I was watching Borussia Dortmund at Dusseldorf, and Dortmund's got a 94th minute winner.
Haaland again, yeah.
Of course it was. But I watched it back later. So on our coverage, we don't do the fake crowd effects because I just don't think it's very good. I don't want to broadcast it, you know. And luckily enough, I get to make that decision for sort of our partners. But BT had an option of putting
this is on Tom Rennie's Talk Sport, yes?
This is on Tom Rennie's International Talk Sport Network, broadcasting to 10 countries and counting. Don't miss if you're outside the European Union. And in fact, you can hear some games in Ireland this week.
And if you speak Mandarin, you're well in.
Yes, you can. And if you look up what Tao means in Mandarin, we won't be able to broadcast this. But it was quite frustrating that they had a great cross to Haaland and then he puts it in and it just, it sounded right. So Darren Fletcher, I think, was doing the commentary for BT. And you know, he's a good commentator. It sounded fine. He'd done his pause that he'd do in TV to let the crowd sing a bit before he'd done his second line. But I actually think at this point, they have just done this to save the commentator's embarrassment. Because it sounds weird to say it on TV with no one in the background. On radio, it sounds fine because you keep filling that void anyway.
Yes, you
but
do.
On TV, they let it breathe. And when you let it breathe with no crowd, it sounds horrendous. So they've got to talk more or not talk at all. I actually think they've done it just to stop the TV commentators sounding stupid.
Well, I have to say, we're all pressing on the individual problems here. I'm speaking to my sister about this. She is nuts about football and can't wait to sit and watch four games, one after the other, coming up next weekend. However, she knits at the same time. Of course, she can do both things together. But her normal thing is she's watching the knitting, and then when the crowd noise reaches a crescendo, or the commentator's voice, she knows it's time to look up because someone is about to either slap the ball into the net or send it sailing over the bar, or there'll be a corner, whatever. But now that she's watching games with no crowd noise, she has no idea when to look up from her knitting. It's going to be a big problem for a lot of people this when it comes back to Premier League.
So she's going fake crowd because she needs to. Otherwise, she'll get too many jumpers done across the rest of the season.
She's not certain. She's not certain that the fake crowd noises are accurate enough, though, for her needs. I suspect the long-term solution for her is to put a computer screen with the TV coverage on it behind the knitting so she's got both things going on visually. You can no longer, at the moment, rely on audio clues to when you need to. We all do it. Let's be fair. How many times are you looking at your phone and suddenly the crowd goes, oh, and you're suddenly transformed back to the television picture?
What will happen now is that you'll be scrolling on Twitter when the game's on and you'll see that someone's posted there's been a goal and then you'll look up and have to rewind the TV to see the goal that Twitter has just told you has happened.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to coming back. I'm looking forward to laughing at some of the innovations. I'm not prepared. I'm on Talk Sport, the actual radio station, Tom Rennie Talk Sport.
I can't get on that, mate. No.
I'm not going to pretend that it's the real Premier League coming back because it's not.
No.
It's a hybrid. You know, Weston, you see that sometimes you see those dogs have been hit by a car and they've had the operation and they've only got three legs. It's a bit like a three-legged dog, isn't it?
It's very bleak.
I suspect it might be a two-legged dog when we actually see it on the television. Oh,
I didn't envisage having to think about a dog being hit by a car here. That's really bummed me out. I do this podcast for fun.
Yeah, I know. And the next bit is not going to be fun either.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at Ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
During the week, Linfield, the Northern Irish Football Club, arguably the biggest club in Northern Ireland, revealed one of its new kits. And it is a kind of purple and pink kit. Has a sash on it too, that has its own problems. And people, let me get Tom, I'm going to explain this to you. I'm sure you know, but obviously, like so many other aspects of life in Northern Ireland, there has been a history of sectarianism dividing the football community. And Linfield have, for better or for worse, been associated with not just the unionist community. I mean, you know, people can choose to support who they like, but with the more unsavoury and, in fact, legal parts of the unionist community. And people have pointed out, now, first, when I saw the kit, the nice part of me, the Danny Kelly's Record Book podcast part of me said, oh, that is sweet, isn't it? That is a tribute to the packaging of the Vimto-flavoured Chew-Its, which packaging is identical to those two colours. The background is the kind of purple, and the Chew-Its is picked out in pink. So people pointed out to me that, in fact, this was the chosen colour scheme of the UVF, the sectarian terrorist organisation who were part of the awful problems we saw in Northern Ireland over the last 30, 40 years. And there's been no real explanation for this or even the denial of it. They haven't confirmed it either, but it's an incredible coincidence. And I'm really hoping that, like so often in the past, this kit turns out to have been faked up, but no one's denying it at the moment.
So,
nothing to say about that, have you?
I have almost nothing to say about that. It's a kit that shouldn't be made because it's insightful, is what you're telling me.
And yet, insightful.
I'm insightful. Well, apparently not. So it's a kit that's going to incite, but they've gone with it anyway, and there's no way of stopping it. Because isn't there regulations about you can't have political messaging on your strips, that sort of thing?
Oh, no. I mean, the caveat here is I hope it is a big hoax, but I've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker if it is. Now, I don't know that the listeners are ready for another outburst from you about the handball rule. That's what they're going to get, yeah?
Oh, so, I forgot how much I hated this season. Like, I hate it. I hate everything about the 1920 season. It has been, if you cast your mind back, it's been crap all the way through. Almost every team apart from Liverpool in the Premier League has been rubbish. All the leagues in Europe being won by the teams you'd expect to win them. And we've had VAR ruining so much of this season. And I'm watching the game on Saturday. I mentioned it earlier, Dusseldorf against Borussia Dortmund. And there's an amazing volley by this guy, Rafael Guerrero, who is a phenomenal player.
Yeah,
it's a left-footed volley. It's so sweet. It's so perfect. And it was the only moment, apart from the eventual winner in the 95th minute, of that whole game that was worth the hour and a half I invested in it. And then the players celebrate. It's a big moment. They line up again, but oh no. Oh no, there's an issue in the build-up to the goal. And it turns out Erling Haaland's shot deflected and it hit Guerrero on the upper arm, lower shoulder. Now, we know this is going to be changed for the next season, whenever that is. But for this season, the rule is maintained and continues. that if the ball hits an arm anywhere in the build-up, even by accident, the goal will not count. And it happened again. And it was an amazing goal, an amazing moment, a brilliant finish. That should be what we're talking about. And instead, we're talking about a debate about what the shoulder is, what the arm is. Was it deliberate? It doesn't matter. Again, whoever came up with that handball rule for this season, I think it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, bonehead rule change in the history of all football. And I'll be delighted when we get to whenever next season starts and we never got to do this again.
I can afford, this is the last of these podcasts, just me and you. So I can afford to lose you now. It's 2/3 of the way through it. And I have to say, when they brought this rule in, I really liked it, Tom. And of course, this is because I speak. I don't want goals to be scored when it's been a handball halfway through it.
An accidental handball halfway through where it accidentally brushes the arm.
That's the problem. Accidental, it's subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, but you should be able to have a subjective conversation about something that happens 40 seconds before the goal goes in, shouldn't you?
All right. Oh, well. Again,
let's not do it. You know what? Let's not do it. We can do this next week when we've had games.
I'm just saying Thierry Henry, Paris, and the scars run deep. That's all I'm saying. Now, on to another story. I really am interested in this because it's been a sort of, in my mind, a pot's been boiling for many, many years. You informed me from the giddy heights that you occupy in international football that the Dutch and Belgian leagues are threatening to coagulate. Is that the right word?
Yes, it is an amazing story, this. There's been so much discussion of this for years and years because of what's happened in Europe is the Premier League is the undisputed number one, La Liga number two, and then it goes Bundesliga, Serie A, and Liga and battling out for the third spot, depending on where they are in their cycles.
Yes.
And that's left the Dutch League, and that's left the Belgian League, not making any money, no one's interested, there's not enough teams, so what do they do? Well, they've been trying desperately to find a way to merge these leagues for years, the various associations. And as of potentially the season after next, we're going to have the Beneliga, which is the Belgian-Netherlands Liga, which will be 8 Belgian clubs, 10 Dutch clubs, 34 games, no playoffs, one massive multinational league. And apparently it's got a step closer to the point where now they're talking about how they practically bring it in within the next 18 months.
Always, of course, the fly in these ointments was always UEFA. They cannot bear the fact that Cardiff City play in England, the Berwick Rangers play in Scotland, the Derry City play in the Republic of Ireland. They can't stand one club crossing a border. Now we're threatened to amalgamate two leagues. But have you got UEFA's view for me?
I don't have UEFA's view, but they're in a situation now where they're pressing ahead with it, which makes me feel like UEFA are broadly on board. Because if you've got a league that's making money as compared to two leagues that don't make a great deal, that's got to be good for UEFA, right? I don't know how they work out Champions League places and Europa League places, but when was the last time a Dutch team or a Belgian team did anything in a major European competition?
And, of course, the historian in me is looking forward then to this being a very successful model. And a lot of the leagues in the old Yugoslavia and Hungary and Austria all joining up to form the Habsburg League sometime about 3 years down the line. That'd be lovely. And if the officials could reintroduce the uniforms of the Habsburg Empire with the massive plumed hats, I'd be very, very into that as well.
Everything about this is, I'm just getting more excited by the second. If we could get them in period costume as well, amazing.
That would work. Now, we've had at least one of your major bugbears in life. At the start of the show when we talked, halfway through, we talked about the VAR handball rule. I'm almost frightened to mention the next one because you're a new father, as you say. You've got a mortgage and a car to support. We don't want your old ticker giving out. But, how can I put it? Roberto's back.
Oh. Did you watch this? Have you seen any of this?
Because of what you said in the preparation of the show, I have been to see it, yes.
He's a goalkeeper that treats every cross like he's never seen a cross before. It's just, he is the most bafflingly awful footballer. If West Ham go down this year, by the way, genuinely, I'm not just making excuses, he should take over 50% of the blame because he cost West Ham 12 points this season in the 5 games that he played. He was so useless. And he came on the weekend. He's gone to Alaves on loan. He'll probably be there forever because nobody wants him back. And he came on after the goalkeeper got sent off after 20 minutes. And there's a cross from the left-hand side. What does he do? He totally misses it. He comes out with two hands, but nowhere near the ball. and they concede, I think, the first goal and end up losing the game.
But the thing is, Tom, because you are Tom Rennie of International Thought Sport, when I forced myself to watch the Alaves game, because you said, look at this town, I couldn't help thinking that the Alaves goalkeeper and Roberto got together before the game to tell you what, I'll get myself sent off after about half an hour, and then we can really give Rennie something to think about. It looked deliberate to me.
They're big fans of the record book, is what it is. They're big fans of Danny Kelly's record book, and he's the only man who takes responsibility for this. And they decided they needed to give me something to be annoyed about. And firstly, I was laughing, but then I remembered that's when I started getting palpitations about the season that we're somehow still in after a year of waiting to find out what's going to happen. Because he could still, even though he's now costing somebody else points on a weekly basis, he could still make West Ham get relegated this year because of how useless, utterly, utterly useless he is and was. Oh, no. It's all coming back to me. Oh, I don't know why I like this.
You love football, Tom. You just hate this season, don't you? Absolutely hate it.
I do hate this season. I really have hated it, and I can't wait for the next one to begin.
Imagine if I told you, and we'll finish the show with a delightful thought. Imagine in those heady days, not so very long ago, exactly 2 years ago, of the 2018 World Cup, as that beautiful tournament unfolded before us in the hottest weather most of us can remember this century. And England's team, by hook or by crook, made their way through the semi-finals, and everyone was loving our football. Imagine if I'd said to you then, you know what, the 2019-20 season, it will take a year and a half to play it. Teams will go down without having played all their football matches. People in Scotland will be suggesting the complete reorganisation of the league in order to avoid relegation. Celtic will be celebrating a ninth title, having played about two-thirds of their matches. You know, it looked to me like I was gone nuts, but apparently everything is possible in this best of all possible worlds.
And also, Roberto's still getting a game, and Belgium and Holland are combining leagues.
Yeah. Tom, listen, it's been a pleasure again. Absolutely. And because of your sterling work over the last 12 or 13 weeks, I know that there's a kind of sarcastic tone to a lot of what goes on in this show, I genuinely want to thank you for all that you've done.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.